how Mary must have felt as she was expecting Jesus. You know, let's not forget that when God brings a gift into our lives, He is going to exceed our expectations. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And so I don't want you to settle this morning for low expectations. I want you to raise your vision to Christ, amen, who will do immeasurably more than you can think or imagine. This is the power that is at work within us, amen. His power, His work in us that exceeds our expectations. I want to thank you for the freedom that I experienced last week in preaching about money. What a wonderful subject. If there's a subject that could, you know, kind of stick in a person's craw, if a person had a craw, you know what a craw is? It's what the chicken's food goes into and it grinds up. If there's a subject that could stick in the craw of a person, even in the person that's been in the church for a long time, it would be money. And I'm so thankful that you gave me the freedom to preach. It was like you wanted more. Like I quit too soon or something. So thank you for hearing God and for responding and for welcoming His message. Next Sunday we'll be receiving our Thanksgiving offering for world evangelism, and you'll receive an envelope in your bulletin, and that has to do with everything that comes into that offering will go into reaching unreached people groups in the world. Right now the Church of the Nazarene is in over 160 world areas, and every dollar that you give goes into new works, into supporting missionaries, into new places where the gospel has yet to be preached. So thank you for preparing, for praying, and for coming next week to participate in that offering, Thanksgiving offering. Well, we finish this week our series on the church, and I want to thank you for sticking with the whole series. If you are lacking a couple of sermons or whatever, there are all of the sermons are uploaded onto our church website at livingwellchurch.org. And I too want to welcome those who are joining us online via YouTube, which is a new format for us. We're learning the ins and outs of it. We've still got some bugs to work out, and that's okay. We plan on redoing the stage here pretty soon and creating a nice background, so you have something other to look at than me while I'm preaching. I want to thank you for joining in online too, and for last month we had 185 guests to our website who visited with us, and we just thank you for the privilege we have of sharing the message of Jesus into your home, into wherever you are joining us for worship. Thank you for being here. We consider you part of us when you join us online, so thank you for being here. Today we continue in our series, and we actually finished the series called The Church. Let's remember that Jesus said, I will build my church. Can I get an amen? Amen. I need a stronger amen than that. Amen. Jesus said, I will build my church. I like the fact that Jesus wasn't tentative. He wasn't reserved. He didn't say, well, you know, let's just see how this goes. He said, I will build my church. And that's why we're here today. We are the fulfillment of the vision of Christ. Let that sink in for a moment. Most everything wears out within a few years. But this vision of Christ, Steve says, my body here wearing out. But the vision of Christ has lasted. Amen? Name me something that lasts like that. This is of God, amen? You are here by the vision, by the intent, by the will of God. You are here today because Jesus had a vision that you would be His, that you would be in His church today. We talked about identity. We talked about what it means to be part of the body of Christ. Who is it that we are? We are the blood-bought people of God, bought by the very blood of Jesus, His Son. 4 weeks ago, we wrestled with the question, where are you connected to the body? If you're the fingernail on the body of the right-hand pinky of the body of Christ, Can your neighbor look at you and your family look at you and track then back all the way through the body, find through the arm and through the elbow and through the bicep and through the shoulder, all the way through the neck to the head of Christ? Can your neighbor, can your family find you in the body and through your identity and your placement in the body, track that Jesus Christ is the head? Amen. 3 weeks ago, we talked about the work of the church. The church is made up of many members, and we've got to stick together. Amen. We have to stick together. We, in fact, maximize our return for Christ as we do ministry together. We maximize our return for Christ as we do ministry together. Now, don't fade out on me. Come on, keep coming with me here. Amen. So we need to work together. We've got to stick together. We've got to do this ministry together, because when Jesus said there are two or three gathered, there I am in the midst. And we want to be able to not just have a fun time together and do things together. We want God to be here, because when God's here, our work is maximized. We talked about church partnership and how we do ministries together. Last Sunday, we talked about storehouse tithing. And again, I want to thank you for the privilege, for the freedom that I had and I experienced while I got to preach on that wonderful, wonderful subject. Next week, we'll have the opportunity to receive some folks into membership, and that's exciting. We had 14, 15 folks over to our home yesterday afternoon, had a wonderful time, served some spaghetti. When you come to the Trotters, you're probably going to get spaghetti. So we had a wonderful time, looking forward to receiving some new members next week. Today, we're going to talk about vision. Where do we go from here? I don't know about you, but when I think about vision, it's exciting to me. Because I think about, oh, the places that you could go. Oh, the places that we could go. Oh, the unimaginable possibilities that are wrapped up in the future. The future holds unlimited possibilities. 100 years ago, could anyone have imagined the strides in technology and the strides in medicine that have happened 100 years ago? 20 years ago, I remember trying to envision what it was that the internet, this thing was. And I remember going to a museum and they had all these monitors on the wall, and there were different pictures, and then sometimes they'd come together to form one big picture, and they were trying to tell me what the internet was, and I couldn't understand. It looks like a wall full of TVs. I don't know. Lots of information. But look how much it's been integrated into our lives today. In 66 years, we went from a 58-second flight by the Wright brothers to the 239,000-mile flight to the moon and then back in just 66 years. Today, you can pick up your phone. Don't try this at home. When I did this out at Lost Lake, they said, "You can't use Google in church." Not really. Yeah, for the right reasons. Come on now, talk to me. All right, ready? Give me a state. Somebody give me a state. Wisconsin. How about Wisconsin? New Mexico. Let's go with New Mexico and see what's up with New Mexico. Okay, Google. Okay, Google, what is the capital of New Mexico?
Santa Fe is the capital of New Mexico.
Did you know that?
No.
It's going to say, is Google wrong? We got the authority over here, right? Yep. 20 years ago, there was no church out at the corner of Lost Lake, the corner out there at Logan, at Loudon and Flag Road. And now, 20 years later, there is a church where most people would say, there's no way a church can survive there, but not only is it surviving, it's thriving. Amen. 13 years ago, there was no Living Well Church, and now here we are. God has done an amazing work, and here we are, the beneficiaries of His plan and His vision for the future. So as I talk today about vision, I'm excited. But the most important thing for us to ask before we launch into our own definition of vision is for us to ask the question, what is Jesus' vision for the church? So when I speak about vision this morning, I speak not so much about what our preferences are, but what Jesus' will is for the church. By the way, if our desires and our intentions are in line with His, God is going to bless, and we become one in purpose and united with Him in vision. But another vital component of vision is a characteristic of this strange people called the people of God, the people of faith, Christians. Over there in 2 Corinthians, we're reminded that we walk by faith, not by sight. In other words, when we receive the vision that God has for us, for our individual lives, for our families, and for our church, it is a life of faith. It is a vision that we don't have the full picture of yet. But it is a direction that God is calling us into, and we see this time and time again demonstrated in Scripture. God calls to go into the entire world and preach the gospel. God called the Israelites into the Red Sea. God called the Israelites to cross the Jordan. They didn't necessarily know what the next step was except to go into the water and go. And yet God showed them the way as they went. So we walk by faith, not by sight. That is biblical vision. I want you to begin thinking today beyond what God's vision is for our local church, and beyond what His vision is for our denomination, beyond what His vision is for the entire world. But what is God's vision for you? What is God's vision for your family? I remember sitting down with some folks when we were pastoring another town, and sitting down, and we had them over for dinner, and I asked the question, so where do you see yourselves in 5 years? And the man got this deer in the headlight look, like, I have no idea. And that told me that what's happening in their lives is they're just surviving in the whirlwind. They have not yet begun to break free of the chaos and have not yet begun to break free of all of the stuff and begin to ask God for a direction, for a purpose, for meaning in their lives. So this morning, this message about vision is for you and me personally. It's about what God has for you in your life. Last Sunday night, we were in the snowstorm for a little while after they closed the roads. Got a call from a friend that was stranded out north of Polo, and so we put it in four-wheel drive and went by faith, amen? And it wasn't the snow so much, but it was the blowing snow. Good thing Jeanette, my co-pilot, was with me because we kept it on the road somehow. And got him out of his car and brought him back safe to Polo, and he spent the night with us, and got him out the next morning. But vision sometimes requires that we just go in the direction that we believe is right, even if we can't see the next step. Amen? Vision is vital to our spiritual health as individuals and as a church. If you do not have a vision for where God is calling you to, I just believe that you're probably in some form of turmoil in your life, because you begin to move into from a proactive stance to a reactive stance where everything else that's falling at you is important. Until you have the ability to say no to some things so that you can say yes to some things, you will be in reactive mode. And there will always be a plate full of stuff for you to do because the devil will keep you busy. But you're going to stay in one spot for 20 years unless you break free of the chaos and break through the whirlwind and find God's direction and find God's purpose and find God's vision for your life. Amen? Now, can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Proverbs 29:18. Let me share how important this is to all of our lives. Where there is no vision, the King James says, where there is no vision, the people perish. That means literally, if you do not have a vision for your future, if you do not have a vision for where God wants to take you, you're as good as gone. Your life will be folded into the chaos, just brought into the whirlwind, and you'll spend the rest of your life just trying to manage details, trying to manage the chaos. The Message version, which is a paraphrase, says, if people can't see what God is doing, in Proverbs 29:18, if people can't see what God is doing, if you can't break through the chaos, if you can't break through the fog, they will stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what He reveals, they are most blessed. Think of it. Those without the understanding of what God is doing are headed for ruin. Do you see what God is up to right now, today in your life? If you're not attending to it, if you're not cultivating it, if you're not facilitating it, you are headed for ruin, the Scripture says. Your life will be occupied with chaos. So as I speak to you today of vision, it's not necessarily that we know every step ahead. It's not necessarily that we see every step plainly in front of us. It's not necessarily that we are able to overcome every obstacle and every detail. But it means that we are headed in the direction that God has for us. Amen? And we're confident of it, that He's given us this vision and this mission to move ahead. Let me just give you a brief definition of vision as I've been tossing it around in my mind and spirit this week. Our vision for your life, your vision for your family, our vision as a church is our best understanding of God's plan as applied to our immediate situation. What is God's vision for your life right now? What is His vision in your finances 5 years from now? What does He want to break the bonds of in your life? What is His vision for you? Not what do you see as possible, but what is His vision? Because God is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever think or imagine. So it's not what we see, it's what God is calling us in faith to trust Him for. Amen? Now come on. Amen? Amen. Let's go. Come on, church. This vision is arrived at by prayer. Habakkuk 2:3 says, for the revelation awaits its appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it lingers, wait for it. It will certainly come and not delay. It means that if you are in this place where you're wondering what God's will is, don't rush it. Amen? Don't rush it. You have to learn to wait, to be still in the presence of God and let Him speak through prayer into your life. And pretty soon, God will show up in your life as you pray. God will give you the intention of His heart. He will give you the plan for your future. He will give you His will for your family. Having the vision of God also implies that we will do more than gaze at it. We're going to do more than frame it. We're going to do more than write it out and put it on the wall. We're going to act on it. Amen? Here's the thing. Over there in Matthew chapter 28, when Jesus is getting ready to ascend into heaven, Matthew 28, Mike, verses 16 through 20, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And I want you to hear this. When they saw Him, they worshiped Him, but some doubted. That tells me this morning that seeing is not always believing. You can be here in this service. God is pouring himself out and you're not seeing it because you're not present at this moment in this service waiting for his vision for your life to show up. Do you hear me? Do you hear? Because there are people all over this city and all over this world who are sitting in church services and have been sitting there for decades who are not seeing the will of God for their lives. God is here and God's work is happening now. Amen. Amen. And he is asking us to open our eyes, our spiritual vision, so that we can see. But it takes faith, doesn't it? Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some still didn't see it. Some were right there and still missed it. Oh God, help us, I pray. Wake us up. Energize us so that all of us who are present when God shows up are aware and receive his vision. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I will be with you even to the very end of the age." And then our brother Luke takes us over there in Acts chapter 1, 11, and he gives us a snapshot of the disciples as the men in white are standing around and Jesus has just been ascended into heaven and the disciples are looking up into heaven where Jesus was gazing, it says. Look over there in Acts chapter 1, verse 11 there, Mike. "Men of Galilee," they said as they were watching the disciples trying to make sense of what they were seeing, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? Why do you stand here gazing? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Amen? We believe Jesus is coming again. So in general terms, what happens after we meet Jesus? What happens in your life after you've met Jesus? Well, one of two things. You're either going to doubt and be stuck in the chaos, or you're going to move forward in faith, believing and receiving the vision that God has for you and your family and your church. Amen? God says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That means we must mobilize. It's going to mean something different for all of us to go. But it does mean that we all must mobilize. I remember that little song in Sunday school after that we would sing, and it has to do with after we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we embrace the mission, the Great Commission. And us little kids in Sunday school were taught the Great Commission. Everybody ought to know, everybody ought to know, everybody ought to know, everybody ought to know, everybody ought to know who Jesus is. That means once we are become a believer in faith, trusting him, receiving his vision, it means that we accept the vision that God has for us and go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We mobilize. We simplify. Everything that is weighing us down, we shed so that we can go, we can be mobilized. We simplify. Because this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Amen. If we have our vision in the right place, we're going to realize that a lot of the stuff we're carrying, we don't need to carry because it's only weighing us down. I want to encourage you ahead of 2019 to begin shedding the extra Klingons, stuff clinging to you now. I want to invite you to simplify so that the mission and the vision can go forward. Because we carry a lot of stuff. We pick it up well-intentioned because people hand it to us. I want to encourage you to simplify and maximize the mission of God in your life and in your church. After we receive Christ, life begins to take a different shape. Goals change because the core has been changed. So much of life is about perspective, isn't it? Last Thanksgiving, I'm going to get the story just a little bit wrong because I don't have quite all the details, but last Thanksgiving, Mom, who is the great-grandma to Lizzie, Avery, and Hannah, gave them a Thanksgiving little basket with three little gifts in it each. And she told them that they could each open one of the gifts. Now, I'm going to get this a little bit wrong, but one of the gifts was a doll with long hair that could be combed. One of the gifts was a little package of mini M&Ms. And the other gift was a fancy pony. A pony. I got it right. So, here's what happened. Each of the girls looked at their baskets. Each of the girls considered what gift they would open. Lizzie went right for the girl with the long hair because she loves arts and crafts. And she could envision herself combing the hair of that doll. So she went right for that. Hannah went right for the M&Ms. Amen. Avery, who loves beautiful things. Let me give you, for instance, Paul and Tiffany were dressing her one morning, and she just came to tears. She said, I don't want to wear these pants. I want to wear beautiful pants. She has an eye for beauty. And she went right for the fancy pony. Each girl had a specific gift that attracted them. And God's vision will attract you with enthusiasm. And you'll look at all the other things that the world offers. And you'll say, I want that one. I want to open that one because there's where the life is for you. There's where the synergy is for your family. And if you do not open it, you're going to miss it. I want to encourage you to identify God's gift of vision in your life, and I want you to open it. And I want you to enjoy the mission and the vision that God has for you, because there is the purpose. There is the power to say no to some things so that you can say yes to the most important things. Amen? Man, that's tough in life. A little later on, a couple days later, we got a text from Alyssa. She said they were at home decorating the tree. Little Hannah was helping decorate the tree. And all at once she blurted out, Jesus is coming over. Amen. When we open the gift, we begin to see what it's really all about. Jesus is coming over. Let's not miss it. Amen. Even in Christmas, we can miss it. We can miss the meaning. We can miss the purpose. We can miss the vision that God has for us. Let's not miss it. Amen? Amen. Jesus is coming over. So how do we do that? This is true, what I'm saying this morning, for every Christian, every family, every church member, every church, every denomination, all of God's people, all of God's work. Specifically, though, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the chaos. Don't do it. Stop. Stop saying yes to everything. And start saying no to some things that are only going to weigh you down in fulfillment of God's vision. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the vision, by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test. Can you hear me all the way back? Then you'll be able to test what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will, His M&Ms, His fancy ponies, and His girl with the long hair. Then you'll be able to test what His will is, and I want you to open it. Don't miss it, because that gift is amazing. Just ask Avery. Secondly, 1 Peter 4:10 says each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Each one should use whatever gift he's received. This vision is a gift. Use it to serve others. Amen. Use it to serve others. That's where life gets awesome and fun and amazing. Use it to serve. And I tell you, you can't outgive God. When you give, he just keeps giving back. He says, I found a channel. Ooh, I found somebody who I can bless the world through. I found somebody that will take the resources I've got and just give them away. They're having as much fun as I am. Amen. I want to invite our ushers to begin distributing the elements of communion this morning. You see, it's all about Jesus. It's all about his life. It's all about his death. It's all about his resurrection. And friends, it's all about your life, your death. Death to sin and being resurrected to new life in Christ. For the early church, life after Christ was about doing everything possible to share the gospel. The vision that they received from Christ required sacrifice. They began to make some hard decisions about their lives. Can you hear me? They began to say no to some things so that they could say yes to some things. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I want you to know that Jesus said, I will build my church. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness, but he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That means God is waiting on you to catch the vision. He's waiting on Living Well Church to catch the vision to evangelize our neighbors and our friends and the people that come into our circle of influence. He's waiting on you to catch the vision that he has for you. He's waiting on me to catch the vision that he has for me. Let me just get really real here for a moment. Life is not about you and I making it. It's not about having enough. It's not about ultimately covering all the bases and making sure everything gets done. Because there's a whole lot of things that we do that we're not the people that should be doing them. But there's a whole lot of things that we should be doing that we're not. I want to challenge you to pick up the things that you should be doing and lay down the things that other people should be doing. Boy, it got quiet in here. It's because it applies to me really bad. It probably applies in some respect to you as well. As a church, we will strive to meet to reach as many people as possible with the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, partnering with our friends in the faith through world mission and local mission. We need to increase our volunteerism here at Living Well. Where are you connected to the body? And is that body, is that piece, is that member actively engaged in ministry? I want to encourage you to lay down some things that are keeping you from stepping up. And I want to encourage you to come and receive the vision that God has for you. It's a bold move. It's a bold step. And you may have been enjoying the vision that God has for you, and you are loving every moment of it. But I just know that a message like this still applies. Amen. We can be doing exactly what God has for us, and then God brings a message like this and says, but I got something you haven't even thought of yet. Would you be ready to take it on? God, if it's yours, yes, I will. Means I'm going to have to, I can't take on anything more right now. It means I'm going to have to say no to some stuff. But Lord, if it's yours and you got it for me, I will take it on. In faith. Amen. Like the automobile, the internet is here to stay. Let me talk to you a moment. Our leadership team is committed to continuing our development of technology and our ability to do tech well and excellent. And we've got room to grow, absolutely. We've got spaces back there that we can still fill with personnel. But here's the thing. Technology is not just tech. It's a different language. We are getting ready to minister to a generation that has experienced most of their life, or a great percentage of it, through a screen. Which means that there will either be a great revolution in their life, tearing them away from the screen of the tablet and the internet, or the computer and the phone, or they will continue to experience much of life through a screen. Let's bring Jesus to them. Amen. Let's make sure that 5 years from now, we are doing what we do with excellence, so that everyone can look and find Jesus in what we do on a screen. I know that that seems like sometimes a distraction, but we've got to speak the language of the people that we are seeking to reach. Can you hear me all the way back? It's going to involve some audio and visual upgrades. We will be partnering to share Christ as we serve our community. I'm excited that we are planning on sharing communion with the folks that come on Tuesdays and Thursday nights on Christmas. We have an incredible team of leaders who are talking about doing some great things. Our leadership team is dedicated to our mission, a unique mission of being a first contact church. We are a church that has reached into our community in very unique ways. We're probably the only church that volunteered to have Santa Claus. Because somehow in that, we see that we can also share Christ. That we are a first contact church. We want that first contact to be loving, magnetic, and simply beautiful. We are committed to exploring God's Word and applying it to every area of life. I want you to know, and you've probably already thought of this, but what we're getting ready to do as we break bread is a fulfillment of the vision that Jesus had for us. Jesus called his disciples together in the upper room. And after he had broke bread, he said to them, "This is my body, which is broken for you. 2,000 years from now, do this. Keep doing this in remembrance of me." Let's receive. After he broke bread, he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he said, "This is my blood, shed for you. take this. Remember that every time you receive it, you're remembering my sacrifice, my death for you. Let's receive. Oh, taste and see. Taste and see. Taste and see that the Lord is good. His vision will be a taste, will be a reality for those who receive His vision and begin to live it out. And what is done in Jesus' name will be a sweet-smelling savor to the world, will be a taste-and-see moment. Amen. Worship team, would you come? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank You for what You are doing today, here and now, in our church, in our personal lives, in the lives of our family. Lord, give us the vision that You have for the salvation of our kids. Give us the vision that You have for the ministry to the needs of the Dixon community. God, open our eyes, I pray, to an even greater degree of what You can do through ordinary people like us. Lord, help us remember that Your resources are unlimited. Help us remember, God, that what is impossible with man is possible with God. So, Lord, send us, mobilize us. We receive Your vision. Lord, thank You for what You are doing here and now in each life and in the life of our local church. God, propel us now to accomplish Your vision. In Jesus' name, amen.
Worship Christ, the newborn King. Come and Christ the newborn King. Saints, before the altar bending, watching long in hope and fear. Suddenly the Lord descending in his temple shall appear.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Come and worship. Come and worship. Come and worship. Worship Christ the newborn King. Come and worship. Come and worship. Come and worship. Worship Christ the newborn King.
All right. It does. Is this on? Okay. All right. I have a few things here, so bear with me. A lot going on in December. But for those of you who are a part of the Well, if you've staffed it in any way, went and purchased any item, prayed, done anything to help with the Well, if you could be here Wednesday night at 7:30, we'll be taking a staff picture. And the good news is, the decorating team will have been here before us, and we'll get a backdrop, a Christmas backdrop. So please come if you've helped in any way. Wear either your beautiful Christmas sweaters or your ugly ones or a stocking hat or whatever you can to make it Christmassy. That photo will go to the people who come and have meals with us here on Tuesday and Thursday nights, just a little Christmas gift for them. This mic is too far away. I can't see my thing. And then also, December 7th, of course, is our Christmas walk. And I think this just went off.
There you go.
So if you would like to help with the Christmas walk, either staffing it, bringing cookies, or what else can they? Oh, help decorate. I'll give you the decorating schedule here in a minute. And tear down the Saturday afterwards. This December 8th, this Saturday, Lost Lake will be having their Christmas choir. I don't know if you saw this or not. It's in the bulletin. And they will be having a dinner afterwards. So come and celebrate as we enjoy that choir together. And there'll be yummy food, I'm told. All right. Next Sunday is Church Membership Sunday. So if you would like to be a member of the church, just talk with John. And he will get you signed up or whatever you need to do. We had a wonderful time yesterday. I got to hear a little bit of what was going on, and I know the message of holiness was coming through with the church membership class, but we just had a great time in fellowship yesterday. We will be adopting two Christmas families this year. Last year we just did one, but we will be sharing one with Lost Lake. And then we will have our own, and then they will have one of their own and share the other one with us. Sizes and needs will be coming up shortly. We'll probably print up what is needed and put it in the back. So if you would like to purchase any items, you'll know what to buy and what size. I don't believe we need any non-perishable food items, but we do need things like toiletries, cleaning supplies, paper products, that types of things. Gas cards, those types of things would be helpful. And then we'll get clothes sizes for you as well. And then December 15th, we've changed the time of the open house. We wanted to have some daylight time for those who don't like to drive at night. So it is from 3 to 6. So just make a note on your calendar for that. Yeah, the open house at our house. I was going to say my house. All right. And then also just being a reminder that home prayer group is at your house on Wednesday night, so invite a group of friends over And if you would like the list of the prayer needs, just I think it's in the bulletin, email John at jtplivingwell@gmail.com, and you can receive a list of the prayer needs. Today is a work day for us. Immediately following the service, we need all of these chairs in the nursery. And Jay doesn't know this, but Jay and Bill are going to help get those stacked in the nursery. So all we need to do is carry them to them, and they'll stack them up in an orderly fashion in the nursery.
Are you able to help do that, Jay?
Can you help us with that, Jay? Okay, thank you. All right. All right. Also, in the back is the final list of any decorating we're doing. There's a little sheet back there to get ready for the Christmas walk. So just know that every day of the week, I think there's something we can do this week to get ready.
Amen.
And if you have any questions, talk to Shelley, because she's doing it all.
Yeah. Okay. She's our fearless leader in decorating, doing a great job.
All right, let's sing the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
God bless you guys. You are dismissed.
Go in peace. All right.
It's just like,
yeah.
Shepherds in their fields abiding, watching for the flocks by night. God with man is now residing. Yonder shines the infant light. Come and worship. Come and worship. Come and worship. Worship Christ the newborn King. Come and worship. Come and worship. Come and worship. Worship Christ the newborn King.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you.